December 31st. According to all years. And the way the president will.
We got a lot of people talking.
Why don't we do it this way?
Yeah, good.
Can you see us all?
Yes, sir.
I sure can. Here it is.
Thank you, Mr. President.
That's our guy.
How many of those are in here? That's right. Really look at that
feet, even the 1960 was higher than this. Well, you can take 1960 when we have perhaps the better comparison because we were in office at that point. The Secretary of State or the state totally out of any state, and any statements at all during the campaign. John Gates took a trip around the world. Secretary of Treasury Anderson also took a trip around the world. And in terms of the cabinet people, the only ones who got into it were Art Lyon, Bill Rogers, in an advisory capacity, but he did not make speeches as Attorney General. Of course, Art Summerfield. Now, this year, if you look at the cabinet, if you run them down on this, if you look at this role, you might first, and each of the first two that I mentioned, perhaps the third as speechwriters, which you may be able to do phrases or lines. Rogers will do non-color, that will be non-color political forms, but will be very, very effective. Laird. Strongest men who should be used and used effectively is Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood has compared with Mitchell, he's a good speaker, he's good on television, he's balanced and not being addressed, and also he's a national figure. For that matter, perhaps even as much as Mitchell, because of his confirmations, because you can ask about that. When people see him, he doesn't look nearly as so forbidding as he's going to be. Law enforcement, respect for law, right, and so forth. This is the court. This is records to every sort of, how we say, allow them to speak to that issue, never to let go. Go on down the line, Schultz is not an effective speaker, as he knows, and he's very good in there, small groups. But then you have, that is, of course.
think another thing would do, Mike, Paul,
when you're sitting around the full session together, is this, in 1968, we had a scout, and we had a lot of very good speeches, position papers, et cetera, et cetera, and every conceivable issue. A lot of them were in the campaigns. The average person, probably someone like three, and usually one, but it's three or four. Now, that doesn't mean that you want to talk about one, if there's one, but there is just one to talk about, but if it's three or four, and you'd be very sure you hammer those through and come back to it and deem after them over and over again. The tendency to think, well, now I've got to make a speech today, and the commentator, I'm going to make one tomorrow, and I don't care, I'm going to make one the next day, and the Department of the Interior's for parks, I'm going to make one the next day. Forget it.
True.
these are the points that, so what it is you have here, a man very honestly and sincerely believes that America should be pro-immigrant world war. Now, that's not said in any in the sense of trying to level of charge and can't be backed up, but he does believe it. His votes over the years have been that way. It's totally backed up by his votes, totally backed up by his support of a man's view with resolution with regard to Europe and having a major man. But just as another very clear indication of the difference between the two is what he said about Chile and about Gandhi and Castro as compared to what he said about Greece. Now, the Greek government thing is hard to get in the blip. Because any intelligent person knows that withdrawing first, that saying what he did about the Greeks enormously appeals to his constituents, because they are against dictators who do their own right, but not their own way. But saying what he did about the Greeks is first would give a body blow to the NATO, which is the Greeks are 19 divisions. It's the southern anger. Split off the Turks. Second, from the standpoint of the United States and its future, it would deny us the only base from which we have to have a viable policy in the Mediterranean and in the Middle East. And that means not just Israel, but the oil companies, Iran, Saudi Arabia, etc., on which the future of the U.S. and the future of Europe will depend. And then on the other side of the coin, if you want to take the consistency line, you can have it that says that what we want to do is improve our relations with Iran, improve our relations with Castro, despite the fact that they are engaged in activities that are very detrimental to us. So he's the double standard there. But the point is that here you have